So purely announcements, there's going to be one last evaluation in the course, which is the final exam. And that's next Wednesday from 7 to 10 p.m. So a whopping 3 hours. Just to help you start getting studying for the exam, the way we've designed the exam is supposed to be like twice as long as a typical midterm, not three times as long. Okay? Yeah, see you later. Thank you. So it's about twice as long. So that gives you a sense of what you have. So you could take, you know, a 5 minute break in the middle. You have, you know, you spend an extra 30 minutes checking the work that you might not otherwise have had. So the idea is that this is twice as long, but you have three times as much time to spend on the exam, which is good if you're slow. This counts as either 40% or 60% of your grade. It's whichever happens to be better, as you know, if you look at the syllabus. Okay? So if you really, really work really hard studying from now or for the next week and do extremely well on this exam, which you have a little more time on, then that will be very good for you as far as your grade goes. So it's obviously a good idea to take this seriously. And you can find last year's exam on the webpage for the course. It would be a great idea to take this under time conditions as practice. And if you follow the links back, you can actually find exams from previous years as well, not just last year, if you're a little more clever. One important note, though, is that the course has been reorganized somewhat this year versus past years. For example, in previous exams, there are direction fields. You don't have to worry all about direction fields for this class. Just don't worry about those in the least. Differential equations, you need to know what a separable equation is and how to solve it. And maybe some examples, but that's about it. There's very little that you need to know about differential equations. Let's see, any questions about the final? Yes?
So, about the more recent stuff that we learned, what's the likelihood of that being on the final?
It's more likely that recent things will be on the final rather than things from the beginning of the course. Okay?
Even like the last 4 or 5 sections that we've been learning about right now?
Yeah, that's more likely, since we haven't had a chance to test you on it at all. There'll be a slight weighting towards the second half of the course, just because it uses a lot of the earlier things, so why not just give you a question that uses multiple things? Stefan?
This was brought up in the discussion group on Tuesday. Is there going to be anything in the final about subjects that are listed in the homework as ignore section X through Y?
You mean would we specifically examine you on something where in the homework it says you can ignore that section?
Yes.
We've made every attempt not to do that. Okay. So the exam should be somewhat like what you see on the homework, just different problems. That's really the level that we're hoping for. So think about what are the harder problems on the homework. That's really what the exam is. It should be like. I can't go into details, obviously, but any other questions? Also, on Friday, you should think a lot about the exam from now until Friday and try a practice exam, because on Friday, the whole time, there's going to be a special guest lecturer, which is John Edgars, and he'll answer any question you have about the course. And he also teaches this course extremely well, I might add. So I think you should definitely come on Friday, and you'll benefit from that a lot. This will be the last day that I'll be teaching the course, though, since the last day of class is on Friday. I'll have extra office hours for 4 hours on Monday from 11 to 3 p.m. So if you want to come and talk to me next week, you should take note of these hours. I want to have an additional amount of office hours on Wednesday, but I don't know whether it will be possible or not, because I'm moving out of my apartment and the movers are coming either on Wednesday or Thursday. I just don't know which day they're going to come yet. They haven't told me. So I don't know whether I'll have office hours on Wednesday. So I'll definitely have office hours during this time on Monday. I won't have office hours on Tuesday as usual, because the movers are packing my apartment that day. So, and actually, right after this class, I'm flying to Washington, D.C., so I won't be around until Saturday. So. But if you're really desperate to ask me a question, here's my cell phone number. So 858-220-6876. For example, on Wednesday, you could call that number and find out whether or not I'm being moved out of my apartment or I'm very available to answer questions in my office. Okay? All right, so those are all the basics. Now, for today, I'm going to talk about the logistics equation, which is section 9.5 of the book. This is the last new material that you'll learn in this class. So first, let me give you a very, very quick review of the most important thing from, I assume, the last lecture, which was about a certain type of differential equation, separable differential equation. So it'll be extremely brief, since you already know this, but sometimes a differential equation, you're really lucky that it's of the particularly simple form dy dx equals, say, f of x times g of y. So write it as a function of x times a function of y. Sometimes that happens. And you know, if you just look at this and you don't know anything, then it might not be at all obvious how to find a function y of x that satisfies this equation, whose derivative is this explicit function of y of x given over here. But you learned last time that if you view this instead as f of x divided by h of y, where here h is simply, by definition, 1 over g of y, then you can multiply it through both sides and you get h of y dy equals f of x dx. And the nice thing here is that this is a function only of y and this is a function only of x. So you can integrate both sides and you get an equality as well, up to the implicit constant of integration. Now the left-hand side will be a function of y, right-hand side a function of x. And so you've got, so this gives you, if you can do the integral, it gives you y, well, it gives you implicitly y as a function of x. I mean, and you might get something over here, but for which you can solve it for y. So for example, if this were a quadratic equation or a logarithm or something, you could exponentiate or use the quadratic formula or something to find y as a function of x. So this gives y implicitly as a function of x, and then you can solve. So it's not easy to do separable equations, but it just uses what you already know. It uses integration plus solving for one variable in terms of another, which is something from, you know, pre-calculus, I guess, or earlier calculus classes. Any questions about this? So this is the one type of differential equation, the one technique that you're supposed to learn in this class. Even though in another class you've learned tons of them. Stefan, you have a question?
I'm just wondering, is there any trick for seeing whether or not it's possible to solve for y explicitly?
It depends entirely on the equation. And even if you, it depends a lot on the particular. But even if you couldn't solve for it completely explicitly, you could, you know, choose a value of x and find all the values of y that solve the equation, and maybe draw a picture of something of the set of all x and y to satisfy this. It just depends on the situation. But it's a pretty, pretty reasonable guess. But in this class, it's going to be set up, the problems will be set up so it's really easy to solve for y as a function of x, or usually it is. OK, so the simplest example like this, which leads into section 9.5, is the exponential growth model. So it's really, really simple. But here it is. Let me emphasize this in lowercase. I'll write my lowercase k's in calligraphic font. In script. So 1 over p dp dt equals k. So this says something about the change in p at time t is k, but with a 1 over p here. So what's a way to say that? The relative percentage growth rate is constant. So let's say the relative growth rate is constant. This k is supposed to be a constant. And the way you, so whenever you have a differential equation, you can often imagine it as saying something about some physical aspect of a problem. So this says, this function dp dt divided by p, this is something you might interpret as the relative growth rate. So it's how much p changes divided by p. So it's the percentage that p changed by, if you like. So for example, I don't want to say anything more. Just take it as a mathematical equation, but you can imagine it as being a relative. So you can solve this using this idea here. You just write, if you multiply by p, your p is a function of t. If you multiply by p, you have dp equals p of t times k. And k is just a constant, so it's a function of, well, it's not a function of anything, it's just a constant, and I forgot the dt. So you can definitely write your function as a product of some of a function of the dependent variable times a function of the other thing. So you can use separation of variables here. I mean, more specifically, you just multiply both sides by dt, and you get dp is equal to p of t times the constant k times dt. Okay? This is nice because on the left-hand side you have just this differential involving p, and on the right-hand side you have something only involving t, though it's as a function of p. So actually, I need to divide, so because you can't actually integrate because there's a p on the right-hand side. So I'm going to write it as dp over p equals kdt. Okay, this is even better because on the right-hand side only involves t, and on the left-hand side only involves p. Okay, now integrate both sides, and you get log p is equal to t times k plus a constant. So you just integrate both sides of this. And now the question is, can you solve for p explicitly as a function of t? And here, this p, let's view it as being a population, so it's greater than or equal to 0. It's like the population of something at time t. So the absolute values we don't need. If you exponentiate both sides, on the left you get p, and on the right you get e to the t k plus c. And now you can change the use rules of exponentiation to rewrite this as some constant which we'll call p0 times e to the tk. Where here, p0 is equal to e to the this constant. But notice that if you set t equal to 0, I'll just leave it. P0 is e to the constant. So p0 itself is a constant. And the reason that there's a 0 here is because if you substituted t equal to 0 in this, you'd get p0 out again. So p0 is just the population at time 0. So this is a very, very simple model of population growth, exponential growth. It's the sort of model you get if you imagine taking, say, a bunch of little cells that every unit of time, each cell divides into two new cells. How many depends on the constant k, but somehow each unit of time, actually let's imagine something else. At each unit of time, some bunny, a rabbit, gives birth to two new rabbits. So each year, one rabbit gives birth to two new rabbits. So if this keeps happening over and over again, we get exponential growth. And the population, there's some initial population, as long as it's positive, as long as this constant is positive, then as t goes to infinity, your population gets really big. And big and big and big and big and big. This doesn't really model what actually happens in a real population. Because in a real population, you know, if the bunnies keep multiplying, they'll use up, they'll fill up the whole city, and then they'll fill up the whole state, and there'll just be no room left for the bunnies. If they keep doubling every year, eventually they'll fill up the whole universe. So this isn't really a good model for what happens in the long run. It kind of tells you what's going on, maybe, with some population right at the beginning, but after a while, exponential growth really can't be sustained by the environment. So bunnies can't constantly reproduce it at such a rate. So there's another model that's a little tiny bit better called the logistics model. And all it is another differential equation, which we'll solve in a minute using separation of variables like we did right here. And instead of the growth rate being constant, you modify this a little bit. So as the population gets bigger, the growth rate gets slower, until if the population got too big, it would get negative. So here's what you do. Here's the logistics model. Looks almost the same, it's just slightly modified. So the relative growth rate is, instead of just being k, you make it k times 1 minus p divided by capital K. Now, this capital K is supposed to be a constant, which describes something you know about the environment in which these organisms live. And let's see, I called it in here the carrying capacity. So you can imagine some environment, say some bunny farm, where the you can have up to 1,000 bunnies there, but if there are any more, then there's just not enough food around, there's not enough space, and the bunnies will start dying out. So it's this K is some population that the environment can support, but beyond that, it can't support it. And notice what happens here. This P, if P were small, then this extra factor right here hardly does anything, and you're basically just getting exponential growth. But if P gets really close to K, then P divided by K gets really close to 1. And that makes this difference very close to 0, which means that this K would be small, and hence the population wouldn't grow very quickly. So just from the physical intuition, from what I've said, the relative change in growth is given by some constant times something that gets smaller and smaller as the population gets larger. You might imagine that the solution, whatever it looks like, you'll start out with exponential growth, but then after a while it'll slow down a lot as it gets closer and closer to K. Also, if you were to start with a population that's bigger than K, then P over K would be bigger than 1, so 1 minus that would be negative, and this k times this would then be negative, so the population would shrink until it gets down to k. So also, if you have too many at the beginning, it would go down like that. Okay, so this is, it's again a very simple model, but it's a little bit better than the one I gave here, which is just exponential growth. Now what we're going to do is use separation of variables, just this technique over here, to completely explicitly solve this differential equation. And then we'll get some explicit function, p of t equals some function of t and of k, and of capital K. And we'll just look and we'll see that the graph really does look like this. Okay? Any questions? Note that there are lots and lots of different models of population growth. This is just, you know, this is just a fairly simple one that you can solve explicitly using the techniques from this class. Another one that you should definitely look at in your homework is called the Gompertz equation. So there's a problem in there about that. So that's another example of a population growth differential equation. Okay, so let's solve this. So what do we do? Let's see. So basically, you just need to sort of rearrange things so you get all the t's on one side and all the t's on the other side. And then you integrate both sides. So if you really want to get it, so it's, you know, something times dp on one side and something times dt on the other side. So any suggestions? Okay, multiply 3 by dt, that's a very good suggestion. dp over p is equal to k 1 minus p over capital K minus dt. Okay, is it good enough? Do we have all t's on one side, all p's on the other?
No.
No. So what else should we do? And remember, you need to have it something times dp and something times dp and something times dt. So any ideas about what else we could do?
Divide.
Very good. Which I divide?
1 minus pk.
Sure. Divide both sides by this. That's a good idea. So I wanted to get complicated, so I will clear up some space right here. All I'm doing is going to divide through by this factor that Bill told me to divide by. So it's dp divided by, I'll just keep my p right here, and I'll put 1 minus p over capital K, which is a constant. And this is equal to little k times dt. So how are we doing? Do we have a function times dp equals to a function times dt?
Just distribute it.
Sure, we can make this a little nicer by distributing. Sure, so dp, here I'll write this as dp over p minus, I mean, we could, actually, I'm not going to do that. We could do that, but that would be a bad move, as you'll see in a minute. Okay, so we have a function, we do in fact have a function just of p on the left-hand side. Keep in mind, this is a constant. Besides that, capital K is a constant. So we have a function just of p on the left-hand side, a function just of t on the right-hand side. This just involves t and a constant. So now, what do? Okay, excellent. Somebody in the middle said integrate, which is a good idea. And then somebody else said partial fractions, which is how to compute this integral. See this, though it has p's instead of x's, this is a polynomial of degree 2 in the denominator and just 1 in the numerator. So this is a rational function. And the way to integrate this is to use partial fractions. And we can integrate the right-hand side really easily. It's just t times k plus a constant. So now we have to integrate this rational function of p, and we'll do it using partial fractions. Okay? So is to integrate it, and to do it using partial fractions, we want to write this as the integral of something over p plus something over 1 minus, I guess, p over k dp. So you just have to find the two things that go in the numerator here. Because each of these are a linear polynomial, these are both going to be constants, so you just have to figure out what the constants are. And this is a sort of thing you have a lot of practice with, except with p equal to x. So, and you have this, of course, this pesky constant right here. Maybe to simplify things, might be best for me to multiply top and bottom by that. Maybe not. Yeah, I'll multiply the top and bottom by that. So, capital K minus p. There's a capital K here. We still need to fill in a constant there. We need to fill in a blank there. And without thinking way is just to put an A here and a B here and then add it back together and make sure you get this. So you can also try substituting in values and seeing what you have to get. I think I'll just put an A here and a B there and see what A and B have to be. Okay, so if you add these two together with A and B not known yet, then you get A capital K minus A P plus capital P capital K B divided by P K minus P. And this is supposed to be equal to, it must be equal to K divided by P K minus P. Notice that I was careful to multiply top and bottom of this by capital K also. And now we just need to figure out what the constants have to be so this is true. And simplifying this a little bit, the numerator is A capital K plus P times minus A minus capital K of B. This is all over P K minus P. Okay, and now the coefficient of P here is 0. So that tells us that minus A minus KB is equal to 0. Can I make a mistake? The odds are I did, because I'm doing a bunch of algebra. But I don't see when. Okay, and the constant coefficient is k, so ak is equal to k. So from this, you see that a is 1. This implies that a is equal to 1. And from this, well, that says that minus kb is equal to a. Just rearranging this a little bit, so that tells you that b is minus a over k. So minus 1 over k. All right, so just double check that. This says that a is equal to 1, and this says that b, if you put minus 1 over k in here with a equal to 1, then that works as well. Okay? Yes, Karen.
This is negative a times k.
Could be, let's see.
Or negative a minus
k. Wait, is it this one the top or not?
The top one.
Okay, so I'll write it again. Minus kb equals a, which implies that a is minus a over b. Minus a is minus 1. I don't want to solve for capital K. I'll have to solve for b. So it says that b is minus a over k. A is minus 1, so I get minus 1 over k. Stefan.
No, I did it using the multiplication trick, and
I don't doubt it at all. But do you get different answers?
Yes, I got b is equal to 1 over k, and that checks out with your second from the left of your big rational algebra thingies. Because if you put in 1 over k, that the second term and the third term in the numerator cancel out, and you're left with ak equal to 1, is equal to k.
All right.
So the term needs to be the same sign in order for that to cancel.
Huh. Well, do you see a sign error in my algebra?
No, I haven't seen your sign error yet. But
okay. Any other joke?
When you factored out
the. Is it here?
Yeah.
Ah, because this is a plus and this is a minus right here.
Yes.
Good. Okay. So that changes this, which changes this, which makes it a plus, which makes it plus 1 over k, which is consistent with what you got. Right? Okay. Can you pass back to Karen? And so we have both a and b. A is equal to 1, and b is equal to 1 over k, so these cancel, and you just get 1 here as well. All right, so now we're set, and that's really easy to integrate, isn't it? This is just log absolute p plus minus. Log absolute k. Yeah, log absolute k minus p. A way to avoid any confusion there is to just change this to a minus sign. This is p minus k. And then, so you're just integrating that. And of course, you're putting absolute values there, so just put p minus k. So, there you are. This integral, I just changed that sign. And hence the sign in the denominator is log p minus k. And now going back to where we were a while ago, we now have both sides of this. So on the left-hand side, we have log absolute value of p minus log absolute value of p minus k equals to t k plus a constant. And now, actually, it's probably better to rewrite this difference of two logs as the log of a single thing, because then we'll be able to exponentiate both sides, and we'll be able to solve explicitly for p as a function of t. So put this together as a single log, log of P divided by P minus K. And that's equal to TK, T little k plus C. Now finally we can exponentiate. Now let's make an assumption, well, let's assume just that our population is less than k, so that we don't have to deal with the opposite values. Are there any questions, by the way? Okay, so assume that p is less than k, and now we can write down p explicitly as a function of t. So write p explicitly as a function of t. By exponentiating both sides, and let's just assume, say that p is less than or equal to k, well, less than k, then you get p over k minus p. That's the appropriate thing to be positive if we assume that p is less than k. That's equal to something similar, e to the tk plus a constant, which is, rewrite that as another constant capital A, e to the tk. Or here the constant capital A is just e to the c. Okay, so this is pretty close, but still we're not done because it's p over k minus p. Actually write, oh, that's clever. Okay, so you can write p explicitly in terms, or k in terms of p. I'm gonna get rid of it. That's all. Yeah, okay, that's, that makes sense. Yes. Alright, so do a little more simplification, since I still haven't succeeded at getting p in terms of t yet. So you can just rewrite this as k minus p over p equals 1 over a e to the minus tk. Okay, all I've done is just taken the inverse of both sides, so it's not much. And now this you can solve for k in terms of what's over here. So write this as k equals p over a e to the minus tk plus p. That's all right. Yes. Okay, so that's nice. So that means that we can just get rid of the k if we replace it by this. That doesn't make any sense though. Oh, I see. That's simple. Okay. So you can now solve for p because, look, you just divide both sides and you solve for p. So you've isolated p. I guess this is just incredibly simple high school algebra that I'm getting confused on. Or I guess I'm not really confused, it's just. So divide both sides by that, and you get that p is equal to capital K divided by 1 over a e to the minus t k plus 1. Okay, so we've now done it. We've completely successfully found p as a function of t. That wasn't so bad. And now, look at the formula. we should sort of step back now and look at the formula. And, well, it looks a lot different than what I had before as the solution to the usual exponential growth equation, which I'll remind you was just a constant times e to the kt. So before, with this model, p of t is equal to some constant p0 e to the kt. And here it's really much, much different. P of t is some other constant, and then there's, you know, this constant, and it's e to the minus tk plus 1 in the denominator. So it looks drastically different when you write out the explicit solution. Though the original, the differential equation we're solving, which is this logistics equation, it's very similar to this. It's just that the solution looks a little bit different, or actually a lot more different. I'll remind you of the logistics equation again. It's just the same, except you put this extra factor in so that as p gets close to capital K, this goes to 0. Okay, so let's see, what happens as t goes to infinity here? What does the population go to? Just as a check to make sure that all this algebra we did makes sense. What?
Carrying capacity?
Yep, it goes to k. And look at it. As t goes to infinity, this factor goes to 0, so you just end up with k over 1. So it really does go to the carrying capacity, like we thought it should, just from our physical intuition. And notice it sort of, what it starts out at depends on your choice of constant here. And also this little k determines how quickly it goes to the carrying capacity. There are a couple of special cases that we assumed didn't occur in this. For example, suppose that the population is 0, then this clearly doesn't model it very well. If the population is 0 at time 0, this really just doesn't quite make sense. So for that, you have to write down a slightly different solution. So we made some assumptions, namely that the population was between 0 and k in doing this. But this does give another model of population growth that stabilizes at k. What if the population starts out bigger than k? Well, we made an assumption that wasn't the case when we did this, so you have to redo this, but with the sign here changed in order to get the right answer there. And then you see that the population goes down to A. Okay, so any questions about this? It's just one of a billion different differential equations that do something to model population growth. There's much more sophisticated models and less sophisticated models. And this happens to be one where you can solve it completely explicitly, as we did in total detail right here, as a function of t. So you can solve it completely explicitly because you can separate the variables. But it really is something new that you might not have seen before, specifying a function by giving a differential equation that it satisfies. This equation sort of, as I'm sure you heard a lot on Monday, huge numbers of physical processes can be described by giving some differential equation. And amazingly, in a couple of cases at least, you can actually explicitly, via some work, solve the differential equation and get a formula that gives a description of the answer. In practice, that's almost never the case. Most times when you describe some physical phenomenon using a differential equation, you have to do some very sophisticated numerical calculations and modeling methods and iterate partial solutions to get better and better solutions in order to find what looks like a solution. So when people spend, the US government spends millions and millions of dollars just finding approximate solutions to differential equations. But this happens to be a nice one that you can exactly solve it. But you'll find if you pursue science more, especially biology and physics, and electrical engineering, that a lot of physical phenomena you just describe by giving a differential equation. And what you actually do with that depends on how much calculus you have and how much computing equipment you have. Okay, any questions, comments, or anything at all? So I hope you'll study really, really hard for the final, which is next Wednesday at 7 o'clock in that room right there. And I'll see you later. Oh, and I have all the exams if you need to get your exam back.
You have extra notes?
Yeah. There's just one
piece. Where's another?
There's actually one.
Seattle.
Yeah, if you're ever in the neighborhood.
You mentioned earlier that
Sage is really very common Google search term.
Oh, it's
very
good.
William Stein Sage. Or just William Stein. Okay. But yeah, and then just email. Okay.
What is this?
Can I send you the
second
one?
Second one?
Sage? Yeah. Yes. Do as many of the old finals as you can, except ignoring some of the differential equations questions on the old ones that are different than what we have now. Do old homework problems, or do problems that are similar. Not all of them, but maybe, you know, choose, look at the group, you might go through and look at the group of homework problems for each section and do a couple. Not all of them, but, you know, maybe look at all of them, just say, do I remember how to do this? Does it ring a bell? I mean, you did it before, so maybe it will. If it doesn't, if you're like, whoa, where did that come from? I don't remember at all how to do this. Look into it in more detail.
All right.
Okay. You could get a friend to challenge you to do some of the problems that are similar to the ones, and then do them. But really, we're asking you to be able to do problems that are similar difficulty to the harder homework problems.
Okay.
So if you can do that,
yourself. All right.
Thanks.
Hang on. I need to do
this. So yes. Question. I have no quizzes. The TA has the quizzes, but I have all the exams. You can email me if you want your grade on the quiz, though.
Okay.
I do have that on my computer. Yes?
What's the average for the midterm?
The second midterm here, all the statistics, the letter grades, the mean, standard deviation, high and low scores. Okay.
Someone took it.
This is for the second midterm?
Yes, it's only for the second. The first one's totally different. I don't remember at all what the numbers are.
Oh.